Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Thank you, Brother Green. Boy, I'm telling you, you don't get a greater truth than that. How great God is. You say, Brother Todd, God's not proved himself great in my life. Well, just hang on just a minute now. He'll show himself mighty in some way, shape, form, or fashion in your life. And be patient. God's a great God. And sometimes I think we take his greatness and his might and his generosity for granted sometimes. You know, our attitude ought to be not what can God do for us, but what can we do for Him. Take your Bible, if you would, this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, Hebrews 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Hebrews chapter 9. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject of an inevitable change. An inevitable change. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you'd stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God, we're going to read a couple of verses or a few verses out of 1 Corinthians 15, and then we're going to look at Hebrews chapter number 9. Paul writing here says in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse number 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but I want you to notice what he says, but in contrast, we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's twice now he's made and confirmed that we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal should have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, Where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now hold your place there. We'll come back to that in just a moment. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And I want to take these verses this morning, church, and I want to preach on an inevitable change. Now, Father, we just simply ask that you meet with us in this place today. Thank you for the privilege that we have to be a part of a worship service in free country where we can come, we can open the Bible, we can say amen, we can enjoy ourselves around the Word of God. Do something special in our hearts today. Speak to us concerning your Word. And we'll thank you for what you shall do this morning and praise you for the results of our invitation here shortly. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. You may be seated. You know, change is one of those words that cause a lot of us to tense up. Well, somebody mentions change, man, we all tense up, don't we? Let me tell you why we do that. The reason that most of us tense up is that the word change carries with it an element of the unknown. Because somebody mentions change, we're all of a sudden, okay, well, what are we going to have to do and what's it going to bring into our life? You see, most of us would prefer to be in the know about things concerning our life so that we can plan and we can schedule our time. We like to be in control. You see, however, change will come to all of us. You see, some change God allows you the choice to control, but some change you have no control over. Now, we like the control part because we like making decisions. We like controlling our life. I'm here to tell you, for instance, let me make this point. God desires to make changes in your life and in my life today. Let me prove my point. You got up this morning. You got dressed this morning. You decided to come to church this morning. Nobody twisted your arm to be here. Do you know why God laid that on your heart to be here? Because you know what He wants to do this morning? He wants to make some changes in your life and in my life. You see, you and I, though we're here this morning, we're going to have a choice when we leave this morning to either change or not to change. You see, God wants to make some changes in our life. He wants to change the believer this morning as well as the unbeliever this morning. You see, the unbeliever, here's what God wants to do. He wants to make a change so wonderful in your life. You say, what is that change? I can't wait to find out what it is. It's changing you from death to life. He wants to make that change this morning in every unbeliever this morning that has not put their faith and trust in Christ. He wants to move you from death to life. But you know, He also wants to change the believer. Here's what He wants to do with us who trust and put our faith in Christ. The change that He wants to make for us today is this. He wants to conform us to the image of His Son. He's in the conforming business. He's in the changing business. But may I say to you, when you walk out that door this morning, you will choose whether you want any of this change or not. You will choose whether this morning, if you're lost and you leave lost, you will choose death. But if you're here this morning, you're a believer. You walk out that door this morning without change, you're choosing not to be conformed. You say, what is God trying to do to conform me to the image of His Son? We don't have time to go there. Go read it for yourself. Philippians chapter 2 talks about the servant's heart. Jesus Christ came to this earth, made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Himself the form of a... That's what He's trying to do here. He's trying to make servants out of us. He's trying to conform us to the image of Christ who came into this world. He gave and He came to serve. Now, God's just trying to make some changes this morning in our life. Now, although God desires these changes, may I say to you, they cannot take place without your choice and my choice to allow it to happen. You see, I can resist the control. I can resist change that God's trying to make in my life because guess what He's given me? He's given me the freedom to choose. Even though He wants these wonderful changes to take place, He will never, ever enforce those changes in your life unless you are willing to submit to those changes. Now may I say to you, God offers me change today. He reveals to me the benefits of these wonderful changes through His Word. He tells the joy of the changes if we allow them to take place in our life. He tells me of all these things, but He'll not enforce change. You see, God will allow us full control of our choices, but we must be willing to accept responsibility for those choices. You see, God will deal with us right now based on the choices that we make in relationship to the Word of God. You ever sit back and thought about what God's doing in your life? It may be based on the choices that you're making in your life. You see, even though God does give us some control over certain choices, whether we're going to be saved or not be saved, do you know that God also gives us the ability to choose whether we're going to be conformed or not be conformed? But I do have some news for you this morning. There is coming one day a change that you cannot control. There is coming someday, one day for all of us, if the Lord Jesus Christ tarries His coming, a change that you will have no choice in whatsoever. That change. The question, let me say this. The question is not if change will come. It is when change will come. It's when it will come. Hey, may I say to you folks, the Bible is very upfront, very plain. God's not trying to play hide and seek with His Word. You and I know this inevitable change is coming. You know it's coming. You know what we'll do? We'll prepare all of these earthly things, and I'm not against that. We'll prepare for this inevitable change for all these things on earth, and may I say to you, we're going to leave all this behind. But yet we prepare earthly for it, but many times we do not prepare spiritually for it. You see, if the Lord tarries His coming, that inevitable change will come to many of us. That inevitable change that Paul said was coming here in Hebrews chapter 9, he said it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. You see, change is coming. And did you notice in Hebrews chapter 9, it says, and it is appointed to man? You will keep that appointment. You will have no choice but to keep that appointment. See, the Bible is very plain that God has set bounds around your life and you cannot, as much as you try, listen, you can take all the herbal things you want to take, you can drink all the green tea you want to drink, you can take all the vitamins you want to take. It's happening, my friend. If Jesus Christ tarries His coming, this inevitable change is coming. It's death. You and I will face death. That change brings with it either a positive change or a negative change based on our free will choice about Jesus Christ. Now, with that said, I want to talk to you for the moments that we have left here about an inevitable change that you have no choice in. If the Lord Jesus Christ tarries His coming, death will find you. You cannot hide from it. You cannot go anywhere. You can go around the earth. There's not a place that you can go on planet earth to escape it. It will find you. It is inevitable. You will experience that change just like I will. It's either going to be a positive change for you or it's going to be a negative change for you. But the truth of the matter is change is coming. Let me give you a couple of things to think about this morning about the positive and negative change. I'm going to hit the positive first because basically they're the exact same things that I want to touch on the negative. You see, the positive change that happens to a person that accepts Jesus Christ is that upon death, the Bible says, it's eternal life. It's eternal life. That's what a believer has to look forward to. Now, wait a minute now. My eternal life began the day I was saved. It's just that I'm going to experience it in its total fullness when death comes. Can I say something? You're looking to somebody. I ain't afraid to die. I'm not afraid to die. You say, well, you ought to be afraid. Why? I already know what's going to happen. You see, if I didn't know what was going to happen, I ought to be afraid, right? You see, the thing about it is, I already know what's going to happen. I already know where I'm going. You say, what's going to happen? Well, the first thing that's going to happen is going to be a change of address. Yeah, I'm going to change addresses. Take your Bible, if you would, John 14. Okay, turn, if you would, to John chapter 14. You see, the reason I'm confident and can say this is because of what Jesus said. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, Jesus said, there ye may be also. You know, the moment that I suck my last breath of life, I'm going to have an immediate address change. From the earthly to the heavenly. To a place and a house made by the hand of God, absent from a place made by the hands of men. You see, I'm going to have a change of address that's going to take place. Many of you have gone through the process of moving. Nobody likes to do that. The reason we don't like to is because what happens is when we start digging through our garage and through our closet, we find stuff that we don't like. We find stuff, oh, I didn't know that was there. Oh, I didn't know that was there. Where did that come from? Can I say to you, when at death, when we face God one day at the judgment seat, you know what we're going to find? We're going to find that in the process of moving from this life to the other, we're going to say, man, I didn't know I did that. Man, I didn't know I didn't do that. I didn't know. We're going to find out a whole bunch of things that we didn't realize we were going to be called into accountability for. You see, I don't like moving just like you don't like moving from house to house because it's a headache to move all that stuff to another location. Now, all I'm saying to you is simply this. When it comes time for you and I to check out, I'm not taking no suitcases. Not going to have to pack. Not going to have to rent a U-Haul. All I'm doing is checking out. You know why? Because my address has already been settled in heaven the day I got born again. All it's going to be for the believer, when the change comes, the positive thing is a change of address from here to there. Now, let me give you another positive change. Not only am I going to change address, I'm changing company. Now, I love you, but I don't want to spend the rest of my days with you. Like we are, right? Now, all I'm saying to you is, when I die, not only am I changing dress, I'm changing company. Now, Paul said this. He simply said to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now, I love people, but I love the Lord Jesus Christ more. Take your Bible, if you would, look at Hebrews chapter 12 for just a moment. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You ever wonder who those folks are? Huh? Can I say something to you that when I check out of here, it's going to be a change of address, but I'm changing company. I'm changing company. I'm going to be in the presence of Christ. I'm going to be in the presence of the Father. I'm going to be in the presence of the holy angels. I'm going to be in the presence of all the great Bible characters. You see, I wonder what people that just passed away yesterday, they're believers, wonder what they're doing in heaven. Not exactly sure everything they're doing. They might be sitting down with the great Bible characters and beginning to ask questions about what it was like in their day and time. But see, I'm going to be in the presence of all the great Bible characters of all the ages are going to come alive to me the moment I check out. It's a change of address, and it's also a change of company. But you know what else I'm going to be in the presence of? I'm going to be in the presence of family members. I'm going to be in the presence of friends. You know, the thing about it is, I've been to some family reunions before. But this family reunion I'm talking about here is going to be the best one you've ever been to. Because you'll be able to spend time with those friends and loved ones like you've never been able to spend time with them before, because you'll spend it with them in perfection. You see, it's going to be a change of company. You see, when I get to heaven, there's going to be a lot of worshiping going on. There's going to be a lot of singing going on. There's going to be a lot of fellowshipping going on. Because I'm changing addresses. I'm changing company. May I say also to you, number three, and that's this. A positive change is coming for the believers, not just a change of address, not just a change of company, but there's going to be a change of mind. Take your Bible, 1 John chapter 3, if you would. 1 John chapter 3. All right, 1 John chapter 3, verse number 2. Find your place, 1 John 3, verse 2. John says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, whether it's in death or the rapture, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him." Notice this now. "For we shall see Him as He is." You see, not only am I going to experience this a positive change when death comes, this inevitable change that I know is coming, I'm changing address, I'm changing company, but I'm going to have a change of mind. Hey, let me tell you something, friend. When I'm out of here, nobody's going to have to tell me to go worship. Nobody's going to have to enforce to me to sing. Nobody's going to have to prod me to worship and to sing and to give thanksgiving. I'm going to have perfect understanding. Isn't it going to be great when you get to heaven? Nobody's going to have to prod you to do anything. You're going to do it out of love and respect for the Son of God. We're going to do it because it's the thing to do when you get to heaven. I'm going to have a change of address. I'm going to have a change of company. I'm going to have a change of mind. You know, David said he was glad when they said unto him, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." I wonder how many of us, we got up this morning, the alarm clock went off. You thought, "Oh my goodness, it's Sunday." I wonder how many of us were glad when we realized it was Sunday where we could come into the house of the Lord. I wonder if we came into the house of God this morning glad, or if we came in here sad. You see, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a change of mind. No more tears. Worship, singing, man, I'm going to have a blast. See, all I'm saying to you, that's the reason I'm not afraid of this inevitable change, because it's going to do me a lot of good. You say, "Boy, you can say that again." I will. It's going to do me a lot of good. All the way around, amen. But may I say, not only is there a positive change of address and company of mind, take your Bible, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to have a change of body. You say, "Oh, are you going to have an out-of-body experience?" You bet. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Philippians 3, verse 20. Paul says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Him." You know what's going to happen the moment I check out? Change of address, change of mind, change of company, and thank God, change of body. Yeah, change of body. You see, if you'll remind yourself in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul said this mortal must put on immortality. This corruptible must put on incorruption. And when that all takes place, you know what I'll be able to do? I'll be able to stand in the presence of God Almighty with a changed address, changed company, change of mind. Now I got a changed body. You know what? I'm not going to have to worry about any diseases anymore. I'm not going to have to worry about taking any medication anymore. I'm going to have a perfect, immortal, incorruptible body. And you know what it's going to be able to do? It's going to be able to endure eternity. You see, the thing about it is, this old body that I'm in right now, I can't endure eternity like this. Hey, folks, it's going to be fortunate if most of us endure 70 years. much less eternity. So you know what's got to happen? Change has to take place in order for you and I to endure eternity with God. And may I say also that even if Jesus returns while a believer is still living, these changes are still in effect. I'm still changing addresses. I'm still changing company. I still will have a change of mind, and I'll still have a change of body, regardless of whether I meet him in death or at the rapture. But you know, this morning I cannot address the positive without addressing the negative. And may I say to you this morning, if you're here without Jesus Christ, that these same changes will take place for you as well. You realize that when you're laying on your deathbed and you breathe your last breath of life, I must say to you, you likewise will experience a change of address. You see, for the believer, the positive change is eternal life. For those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, for the unbeliever, it's eternal separation from God. Take your Bible, Luke chapter 16, if you would please. Luke chapter number 16. Okay, Luke 16. We'll not be able to read the whole passage. Let me just bring you up to where we are in verse number 22. Two men. There's a rich man and a man by the name of Lazarus. You know what happened to both of them? The inevitable. The inevitable happened. You know what happened? They both died. Yeah, they both died. See, it didn't matter whether one was rich or one was a beggar. Death comes to all. It is inevitable. And so they both died. Lazarus goes to heaven, or at that particular point, Lazarus goes to paradise, to Abraham's bosom. But the unfortunate thing is the rich man did not make a positive change. Unfortunately, it was a negative change in his life. And it came to pass, verse 22, that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell. Is that what your Bible says? If it doesn't, you need to scratch whatever words there and put hell. Because that's what it means. It says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Wait a minute, it doesn't stop there. Look what he says. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So I don't believe in hell. I think hell's a grave. Let me tell you something. This old boy's grave's on fire, my friend. It's on fire, and he's being tormented in it. You see, the unfortunate thing is he made a negative choice. He chose not to believe, and therefore his choice not to believe brought him a negative change. You see, just like Lazarus had a change of address, the rich man likewise had a change of address. And so shall you, and so shall anyone who does not choose Jesus Christ will have a change of address. You see, this will be a person who dies without Jesus Christ, this will be the closest to heaven they will ever experience. Because after that, it's an eternity without God in hell. You see, they likewise will have a change of address. Earthly pleasure to eternal torment. You see, a place prepared for the devil and his angels, the Bible tells us. You see, the moment this rich man died, the Bible says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. You know how long it took him to get there? The moment he took his last breath. There is no in between. There's no vacation time. There's no island you go to or planet that you go to. You go immediately to heaven or to hell. There is no in between. You see, that change will be either positive or it will be negative. You likewise, just like the believer, will have a change of address from the earthly to the heavenly. Those without Christ will change. Will have a change of address from the earthly to the tormented. But may I say also, you likewise will have change of company. See, most of you in here have friends and people you like to be around. You're not going to like to be around these people, but you will be with them forever. You say, who are these people? Take your Bible, Revelation 21, 8. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 8. Revelation 21 in verse number 8. Now this whole list of people that God is describing here are all lost people. These are the people who did not overcome. These are the people who did not choose Jesus Christ. And the Scripture says, but the fearful and unbelieving. Now here he begins to list the people that every lost person will be with for all eternity. When they breathe their last breath of life, they will have a change of address from the earthly to hell, and from this company to the company of unbelievers, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And may I throw on top of that for just a second, and the devil and his angels will eventually meet you there. And folks, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like a bunch of people I want to live the rest of my life with for all eternity. And yet, the negative change will also bring a change of address and a change of company. The lost of all ages, murderers, those that are vile, the devil and his angels, perverts of all ages. I'm here to tell you, my dear friend, those are the people that are awaiting those without Christ. I'm here to tell you, the change is coming. It's either going to be a positive change for you, or it's going to be a negative change for you. May I say also that you will have a change of body? Regardless of what you hear or read in books, you will not be annihilated. The Bible is very plain that it is suffering for all time. And I want to just throw this in there. I don't think the greatest suffering will be the flames. I don't think the greatest suffering will be the bottomlessness of the lake of fire. I think the greatest suffering that will happen will be the conscience of every person that's there knowing they didn't have to be there. They didn't have to be there. They got there because they made a bad decision. And that decision was not to do something when the change came. To do something in advance. But then you likewise, a lost person will likewise have a change of body. It'll have to be changed into the immortal to endure the flames forever. It'll have to be changed into the immortal with all the feelings of your earthly body. Did you notice the rich man said that he was in torment? He was in torment. Kind of sounds like he felt the flames, doesn't it? Kind of felt like that he felt the things of where he was. You see, likewise, there'll be a change of address and a change of company and a change of body. But may I say also that for a lost man or a lost woman that ends up in hell, you likewise will experience a change of mind. Go back, if you would, to Luke chapter 16. Let me read you one verse and I'm done. That's this. Luke 16. Luke chapter 16 and verse 24. See, this rich man, once he got there, oh yeah, his address changed. His company changed. His body changed. It became immortal so it could endure the flames of hell forever. But I want you to notice a statement that he says in verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, Father Abraham, have mercy. You know what he had? He had a change of mind, didn't he? The problem was, it's too late. You see, 1 second after death, you know everybody's a believer? Oh yeah. Yeah, everybody's a believer 1 second after they die. Everybody believes in Jesus Christ because it will be made very plain. You see, just because a person says, well, I don't believe the Bible and I don't believe in God, that doesn't mean that it's not true. See, some people think they can just think this change away. Hey, listen, I don't know if you've ever met anybody. I meet some people that think they're never going to die. They just think they're invincible. But, you know, it'll finally come to them one day and the inevitable will take place. And the unfortunate thing is 1 second after they breathe their last breath of life, you know what they're going to say? Oh, Jesus, please have mercy on me. But I want you to look at what the answer that came back. The answer that came back and Abraham said in verse number 25, son, remember He said, I need you to remember something. I want you to remember all the opportunities that you had when soul winners came by and knocked on your door and tried to plead with you with tears in their eyes, gave you a tract, tried to plead with you for your soul, and you would not listen. He said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. I'm just here to tell you, you know what, he had a change of mind, but it was too late. You see, everybody's a believer 1 second after they die. You see, the inevitable change will come to you and you have no control over it. You see, that's what bothers most of us because we can't control when we're going to die. You see, it's kind of like the old saying, if we knew when we're going to die and where we're going to die, we'd never go there, no, would we? But we don't have control over it. But you do have control over something this morning. And that's the choice to either make a positive change or you will experience a negative change. My question simply is this, what's it going to be? Change is coming, but the choice is yours. Will it be positive or will it be negative? Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment this morning? No one moving around. This is a very important time in our church, our invitation time. How many are here this morning?